What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name would smell as sweet. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain that dear perfection which he owes. Without that title, Romeo, doth thy name, and for that name, which is no part of thee, take all myself. Famous Shakespeare. Old Romeo and Juliet. That was actually Juliet. I didn't use my feminine voice for you. I spared you that. My poor reading of Shakespeare. I butcher it. But later in that passage, Romeo, in one of his responses to Juliet, he says, by a name, I know not how to tell thee who I am. My name, dear saint, is hateful to myself because it is an enemy to thee. Had I written it, I would tear the word. So what is a name? I mean, from this famous Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet, and a lot of us are familiar with this. We were made to read it in school. Yes? How many of you were forced? And then they came out with the movie, and you thought it was going to be cool because it had guns in it, but it wasn't as cool as what I thought it was going to be either. And I enjoy Shakespeare. I enjoy his fun stuff. So when it gets all lovey-dovey, it's kind of like, okay, let's go back to the fun stuff. What's in a name? You've got these two who have this fictional love affair and they can't get together because of their names. So really, what is in a name? I mean, think of Bible names. Some of the people, in fact, the very first man, Adam, was made from the dust of the earth. And God breathed the breath of life in him. Do you know what Adam means? Earthy. That's what a name means. He's dirt. He's earthy. Adam was earthy. You got Jacob and Esau. Those were twins that were born. And Esau was born first, and they called him Harry. Not with two R's, but with an IR. Harry. That's what Esau means. So imagine your parents coming out naming you Harry because you had hair all over you, and that's why they called you that. Well, we saw you looked hairy. Well, the story goes that the second twin that was born was Jacob, and that he was grabbing Esau's heel as he was coming out of the womb there. And so he got the name Jacob, which means heel grabber, which fit with the way that Jacob lived. He was sneaky, kind of always did things kind of under the on the down low, you know, just grabbing heels, you know, underneath things. And that's Jacob. That's how he lived. In fact, Jacob had a name change. Talk about the meaning of names. Jacob wrestled with God for a whole evening. So God changed his name to Israel, which means one who wrestles with God. Which, if you know anything about the Old Testament, you've walked, read anything about the Old Testament, you know that was consistent with the nation of Israel that came from Jacob. They wrestled with, even to this day, present day, Israel still wrestling with God. So what is in a name? You go to people like Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham and Sarah. If you remember Abraham, Father Abraham, yes? Remember Father Abraham? So you got Abraham and Sarah, and they were old, older than anyone else in this room. And we have some older people in this room. Older than, okay, so they're old. All right, I was going to say older than Adam, but then I have to go re-explain the name dirt. So see, some of you guys are going to get that later, and you're going to chuckle. But they were in their old age, and God told Adam, he said, hey, I haven't forgotten my promise to you. You're going to have a son. And Sarah laughed. And so God told them that that's what they'll name their child, is Isaac. It means he laughed. So names. Names are fun. They come from all sorts of different things. People like Moses, who you guys know that Moses was set into a basket and let down the Nile. And then Pharaoh's daughter picked him up out of the Nile, and she named him Moses. Moses means drawn out. She drew him out of the water. Even Jesus himself, Jesus' name means the Lord saves. And Jesus gave Peter, he was a name changer for Peter. Peter's name actually was Simon. You guys know Peter, the guy who walked on the water, preached the first big sermon in Acts chapter 2. His original name was Simon. His Jesus-given name was Peter, Petros, little rock. You're saying, you're solid, man. You're like a rock. So you guys remember the rock? Okay, he couldn't copyright that. Peter had that first, given from Jesus, the rock. He was the original, the rock. We just came out of a series on Jude. Jude makes a very specific distinction that he was Jude, the brother of James, associating himself with James. James was a big name in the church community at that time. And what's interesting is Jude is actually a nickname or a shortened version of the name Judas. So Jude did not want to be associated with Judas because the name. In fact, you don't see too many kids named Judas anymore, do you? Nuh-uh. You don't see too many Jezebels running around. So really, there's a lot to be said about what's in a name. And I think we all want good names. A lot of us, we painstakingly went through and found names to name our children. And we want names that fit and names that we liked and names that would be a good name. But going beyond just the name that you write on paper, but thinking about the meaning of what a good name is, what a good person is. And there's a procedure that goes through that. And we're going to diagram this out. If you would, go on and open your bulletins. I want to take a look at this in good flow chart style. We'll start off with a good name. Can you guys see that? All right, I'm writing bigger, I hope, from first service. So you got two ways of getting a good name, all right? Go over here, and you can earn it. Right, you're born into a poor society, a poor family, or a family that's not really all that great, or a situation that's not all that great, and you gotta earn a name for yourself because maybe you come from a family that doesn't have a good name, or maybe it's in your profession. Maybe you decided to go at the profession that wasn't the profession that your family was involved in, and you had to start at the ground floor. I mean, you were in there and you were cleaning up. You were the janitor, and you got a chance to move up into some office work, and then you got a chance to move up on the field, and then you got a chance to move up to where you're the boss of other people, and you had to make a name for yourself. So you can earn a good name. The other way you can get a good name is you can inherit. You can inherit it. That's the easy way, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with it because it's easy. So some people write that off and say, well, that's the easy way. It's got to be the wrong way. Uh-uh. Inheriting a good name is not a bad thing to do. Like if you got a dad and your dad's a plumber and he's a good plumber, and then you decide, you know, I kind of like plumbing. I think I'm going to become a plumber too. And then you start to plumb. I made that word up a few weeks ago, so I'm going to keep using it. And so you begin to do that, and people know you, and they're like, oh, you're so-and-so's child, aren't you? And that's good, because your dad had a good name in the business, and they know I can trust this guy's work, because he's the son of this guy. So you inherit a good name. Or maybe you've got a family that's good in the community and well-known for doing good and taking care of people, or a family that's well-known for being active in church, and you're part of that family and you get connected to that. Say, oh, you're so-and-so's son. And a lot of times, because we're in America, we like to be so individualistic, we shy away from that. Don't do that. It's a blessing. You inherited a good name. Now you have a choice. If you've either earned a good name or you've inherited a good name, then you've got a choice. You know, flow charts, when you get down to a choice, it's a diamond. And that choice is, what do I do with it? Question mark. What do I do with it? What do I do with a good name once I got a good name? Whether or not you earned it or you inherited it, then you have the choice. What do you do with it? Real simple. All right, not rocket science today, folks. All right. You can either keep it. Yeah. Or what? Lose it. Can you read my writing there? I think it got bigger, but it got messier, so I don't know if that was a good trade-off. You can either keep it or you can lose it. Now, we're one message into a series on Ecclesiastes, looking at the meaning of life. And Joby opened up the book by kind of giving a general overview of what the book was about. That this guy Solomon, who is the wisest man that ever lived, he searched through all these different things to try and find meaning. And the book, and I encourage you to read it, because we don't have time in the 5 weeks that we're diving into this to cover all of it. So I encourage you to read it, take the principles that you're learning here on Sunday morning, and use that to help reveal some things to you. It's only 12 chapters. I think you can read it in like 20 minutes, half hour. It's not long. It doesn't take long to read. And what he did was he searched through all these different things. And Joby shared with you last week about that he searched through power. He searched through prestige. He searched through desires and fulfilling anything that his heart wanted. He went through all these different things, and he kept coming back from them saying, man, this is meaningless. This is empty. It doesn't have meaning. It's not bringing any value to my life. And every time he came back from things like that, you're like, well, what's this guy doing? So, well, Solomon talks about a good name. But before we dive into Solomon, I'd like to take a step back to his dad. Have you guys ever heard of David? King David. All right. Who can tell me a story about King David? Goliath. He killed Goliath. All right. What else? What? That's all right. That's all right. I won't repeat that. You didn't get picked up by the mic. Good answer. He danced in his underwear. Is that what you said? Yeah. He worshiped God in his underwear. That's a story about David. It's actually a cool part about his heart, man. He didn't care about anybody. He's just out there dancing, praising God. What? What? David and Bathsheba. Okay, so we got a little bit of the negative in there. Anything else? He was Solomon's father. He was a king. He was a good king. In fact, oh, he was a warrior. What? Murderer. Yes. Yes. He was a shepherd. He started off as a shepherd. Jesse's son. Jesse, who's Jesse? Really a nobody until you connect him with David. So when we look at David and we see these different things that happen with David, David wasn't born into really a good name. Now, if you look down his line, he's got some people down the line. But Jesse is just a shepherd. Pretty all right guy, but he wasn't a king. He wasn't as powerful. He wasn't spoken of in Scripture the way David spoke. David's spoken of in Scripture as a man that was after God's own heart. And all the junk that he got himself into is pretty amazing, because we get to see down this side David's route. All right, this is the route that David took. David earned a good name. He made a good name for himself by the way he acted, the choices he made. God was the center of his heart. And he reveals this through the Psalms, and we get a chance to see how much he loved God and how much he struggled with his relationship when he fell. And through that, he earned a good name. And not only did he earn a good name, but he kept a good name. We know this for many reasons, and one of the reasons we'll dive into when we start talking about Solomon. Now, Solomon took a different route. Solomon was David's son. We had that revealed to us. Solomon then didn't have to earn a good name. He inherited a good name. He inherited a really good name, King David. But what happened was, over here we've got Solomon's route. Solomon lost it. He lost it through this book of Ecclesiastes, where he chronicled his losing of it. At the beginning of his reign as king, God told Solomon, he said, hey, if you stay straight in line, if you keep following the pattern that your dad set, I'll keep your line in the throne forever. I'll take care of you. You will have king after king after king. All you got to do is keep it on the straight and narrow, keep me number one. Keep our relationship number one in your life. It's all you got to do. It's all you got to do to keep it. You inherit it, you keep it. That's all you got to do. But God said, if you step outside of bounds, if you step outside the lines, if you turn your back on me, you will lose it. I will rip the kingdom out of your hands. And that's exactly what happened. That's what this book of Ecclesiastes outlines. It talks about how he went out and all these different things that he involved in and allowed paganism to enter into the kingdom. And on the outside, from a secular point of view, Solomon was an amazing king, raised a huge military. Financially, they were sound. He was a great leader in that aspect. But as far as carrying a good name, he lost it because he allowed all these things in. And so this is Solomon's route. He inherited a good name and then lost it. And we find out at the end of his reign that God says, I'm ripping the kingdom out of your hands. But, and this is kind of interesting, because David was such an awesome guy and he's your dad, I'm not going to take it away from you. I'm going to take it away from your child. So what's in a name? Well, it seems to God that there's an awful lot that's in a name. Let's kind of turn a corner. You guys, is all that stored away? All right, I need some volunteers. I need a strapping young man. All right, come on up, Curtis. I was going to pick on Tommy for this one. Maybe we could have a competition. You want to have a competition? Come on up, Tommy. Come on up. We'll see where we're at. Now, I need honest Abe. I need an honest person here, possibly someone that's an accountant or someone who works at bank teller or a cashier. Someone that can count and they're honest. Come on, who's got, you gonna count for me? All right, come on up, come on up. And you can just kind of sit here. Now, I need another volunteer before I get things started over here. You guys are already, I can only pick one of you. Which one you're pointing to? Nicole, she was first? All right, come on up, Nicole. Brittany got to answer a question, so we'll trade off that way. All right, Nicole, you can just kind of hang out over here for a minute, and we're gonna use you in a minute. We'll probably move up a little bit. Okay, here's what I got. I got a dollar. All right? And this dollar, you're going to earn it. You're going to earn it. I'll be easy on you. You're going to earn it a nickel at a time. But it's $1. So in order to get this dollar, one push-up equals a nickel. So whichever one of you guys... Actually, I'm going to need another counter. Can you step up here and be another counter? Yeah, I wasn't thinking about it. We got two people, so I need to keep this fair. So if you can count for Tommy, you can count for Curtis. All right? All right? First one of 20. Here you goes, ladies. You guys can give that to the first one of 20. All right? And I'll get started over here. All right. You want to get set up? All right, you ready? On your mark. Get set. Go. Okay. Are you guys counting for him over there? All right, Nicole, let's avoid some of this craziness over here. I'm going to bring you out here, and I got something special for you, too. This right here, this is a rare. Now, last week we had to fake, you know, the imaginary snake, okay? How you guys doing? Tommy got it? Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't close. All right, give Tommy the dollar. You guys can have a seat if you'd like. Oh, he paid off the judge. That's how he won. Good job, guy. Give him a hand. Remember that, because we're going to come back to that. All right, right here. I assure you there's nothing dangerous in this jar, okay? Last week we had a scare with snakes, and there was no snakes. There were no snakes in the building. It was all playing with your amygdala. This is a very rare brown yarn spider. All right. I'm going to let him out here, okay? You all right? You all right? All right. Let me see if I can get him out here. He's got a dollar, I guess, he's been keeping in there. All right. There you see him? Mm-hmm. See, all right? Yeah. He look a little uncomfortable. Here. I'll take care of him. Here you go. Is he gone?
No. Don't kill him.
All right. How you feel now?
Bad.
You feel bad? Well, you looked uncomfortable. I thought I was going to be the hero. I thought I was going to be the man. Well, here, this was in the jar. If you can read that, and I'll take the money here. See what's left of the poor little guy. You can read that. I'll stand near you so we can get you on mic.
Cast? What is that letter?
Will.
Oh, these are weird.
It is weird.
Cast, will, and testament. I, Bruce, Yawn. Splicer?
I think that's how you pronounce it. I knew him for a little while.
The brown yarn spider do declare that my last will and testament to be as follows. I wish to the reader of this document, upon my most unexpected and untimely death, shall inherit my entire life fortune, which I have saved in my jar, equaling to the sum of $1.
Looky there. He died, so you get to inherit the $1. Okay. There you go. Give Nicole a hand. You can go and have a seat. No, you can keep it all. See, wasn't that fun? Now, you guys got a chance to observe that. Which seemed easier? To earn the dollar or to inherit the dollar? Across the board. Would you agree, Curtis? Tommy? See, I should have just picked Tommy and done 2 cents of push-up. Watched him struggle up here doing 50. It's easier to inherit something than to earn something. Now, as we talk about a good name, there's a name that is above all other names. A name that is more powerful than any other name that you will ever encounter, that you have ever encountered. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. God placed him on this earth, his own son, and gave him a name. And in scripture, that name is talking. You guys have a bunch of little scriptures at the bottom of your bulletin, and those all refer to different things dealing with this topic. And in those scriptures, you'll see things like in the Hebrews passage where it talks about how Jesus' name was lifted up above all other names. There's no other name that is superior to Jesus' name. All other names are inferior to Jesus' name. Now, what's interesting about this, the reason why I bring this up is because we're talking about a good name, having a good name, the importance of a good name, how you can get a good name. The most powerful, the most effective, the most useful, the most the highest name, the most superior name of all of history is available to us. Today we're called Christians, those of us who have given our life to God. Now that name originated as a derogatory term. It was a term that started back in Antioch in Acts chapter 11, where they were being called Christians, little Christs or Christ followers, people who belong to Christ, rather, is another translation of that. And it was a derogatory term. They were making fun of them. You little Jesuses, you little Christs. And that's how Christians started to bear the name Christian, from people making fun of them. But think about the name that you bear as a Christian. Think about how you came into contact with that, because a name that big, a name that powerful, you can't earn that name. You cannot earn that name. There's nothing you can do that'll ever make you righteous enough to be able to wear the name Christian, to be able to wear the name of Jesus Christ on your heart. We're told in Scripture that salvation, I'm going to skip to that with me, salvation, verse 12 of Acts chapter 4. Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No other name can save but the name of Jesus. No other name. Salvation is found in no other name. So how do you inherit this? You've got some scriptures in your bulletin. I'm just going to share it with you just right out. Don't take my word for it. Look up those verses later. But the first thing you do, and a lot of you guys, this is going to be basic, but for some of you that you're just now coming in, and this whole Jesus thing's kind of new to you, let me lay it out real nice and simple, and this is all from scripture. The very first part of it, in just a logical order, you got to believe in the Lord Jesus. You got to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, Paul's asked by a jailer after some events had happened. I encourage you to read that story. Pretty awesome story. But he asked him, he said, what must I do to be saved? What do I do now? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. So that's first and foremost. You got to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. The second step is call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Call out to him. Peter quoted in Acts chapter 2, and Paul quoted in Romans a passage from Joel where it prophesied about the day that Jesus would be here and the power of Jesus' name, that you would be able to simply call on the name of Jesus and be saved. Call on the name of Jesus and be saved. Now, that is also something that was referred to from Paul. Paul, who was, I mean, he's the ultimate example of a name change, because Jesus Christ was the name changer. Amen. Paul was Saul. Saul was pre-Paul. Same guy, different name. When Paul was Saul, Paul persecuted Christians. Saul, under that name, persecuted Christians. He was on his way into a town, into the town of Damascus, with papers in his hands to arrest Christians. He was there when Christians were put to death and supported it, was fully for it. He was on his way into this town with papers in his hands to arrest Christians. And Jesus appeared to him on the road. And he told him where to go and what to do, and he did. And we got to the place, and I'm shortening this tremendously. You guys need to read it. It's Acts chapter 22 is when Paul tells his story. But he says when he got to the house of the Christian believer where he was supposed to meet with and see him, when that guy heard his story, he was like, what are you waiting for? Call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be baptized into him. And Peter also said something similar to this in Acts chapter 2 when the guys that he was preaching to, they said, what should we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's what you need to do. You need to be baptized, repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And guys, that's really just simple. That's it. That's in a nutshell. It's super simple. You believe in the Lord Jesus. You believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. You call on it. You repent, and you're baptized into that name. Now, for those of you who are Christians this morning, I hope this is a reminder of what you should be focusing your whole life on outside of these doors. Sharing the truth that you know and how easy it is to inherit the greatest name on earth and in heaven. The name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But for those of you who are here and this Jesus thing's a new thing for you, and maybe you're starting to get into it, maybe you're starting to say, you know what? I kind of like this. I like Jesus. I think I want to do something about this. And you believe in the name of Jesus, and you know he's real, and there's something inside of you that says, you know what? I know it to be true. I know this is real. Maybe today is the day that you need to call on the name of the Lord Jesus to be saved. Maybe today is the day that you need to repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus as your decision, not your parents' decision. Not something that happened before you knew what was going on, but a conscious decision connected to your desire to be obedient to Christ and follow him. And guys, it's just as simple as that. You don't have to overcomplicate it. If you believe that Jesus loves you, that he died on the cross for your sins, and God raised him from the dead, that's all you need to know. You look at that list. You look at that list on the board. Do we have it on the board? Did we have it on the board? All right. That list, you look at that list right there and you go down through that and you check that off and you say, okay, yes, I do believe. Yes, I've called on his name. Yes, I've repented and been baptized. But if you don't have a yes beside any of those, let's make it happen right now. I want to bring the musicians back up forward. And before we continue on with the message, because we got some more notes to take here in a few minutes, and that's directed more towards those who've already done this. But I want to get to those that haven't done it yet. I'm a little impatient. I don't want to wait till the end of the message. So now that you know what you need to do, we want to give you an opportunity to come forward and make that decision. And then when we get a little further in the service, and we'll take you up there and we'll baptize you in the name of Jesus. And you'll know that you've done all that you've been asked to do biblically to accept Jesus, to inherit the name of Jesus. Please stand and come forward if you have a decision to make this morning. I know God's been speaking to your hearts. I've spoken to some of you that have been right in the middle of this turmoil and you've been trying to make a decision. This morning is the morning to do it. Now is the time to do it. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Come to Jesus this morning. You may be seated. I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but if God is speaking to your heart just now and you're thinking, man, that's a crowd. I don't like getting in front of people. Hang out after church. Catch one of the people here, one of the elders, one of the ministers, one of your friends. Say, hey, I want to do something about Jesus today. Don't let it go. I'm going to turn the page. Christians, those of you who bear the name of Christ, listen to what Peter says. My Bible's up here. Listen to what Peter, actually, I'll just read it off the screen. Let me have that up there in 1 Peter 4:16. Peter says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Christians, before you leave here this morning, please take some excitement with you. You bear the name of Christ. Amen. That's awesome. Jesus Christ is what people call you. And even if it's derogatory, even if you suffer for it, it's still worth praising God for because you bear the strongest, most powerful, most precious, most caring, most loving, most compassionate name that mankind has ever known. You carry that. You inherited that because you believed, you called, and you repented and you were baptized into that name. No other name but the name of Jesus. Don't act like Solomon. Don't follow his route and get caught up in so many other things that will pull you off your route. Cross over. Keep it. How do you keep it? Colossians 3:17 says very simply, whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name. Are you picking up on the pattern here about the name? Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, write that down. Take that home with you. Whatever you do, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In word or deed, word, that means fearlessly share the name of Jesus. Share with you a story. Peter said, even if you're being persecuted for the name. Now, let me tell you a little story about Peter. In Acts chapter 3, Peter was out, and he and John, his good buddy John, they were on their way into to worship, into the temple, and there was a crippled beggar there in the temple. And Peter said, man, I don't have it. I'm broke. I don't have any money. I gave my last $2 away to a sermon illustration a few minutes ago. He said, but what I do have, I've got a good name. I've got the name of Jesus Christ. And so he healed that man in the name of Jesus and sent him on his way. Now, this caused a ruckus. And so the Sanhedrin brought Peter and John, and they said, hey, you guys got to calm down talking about this name of Jesus. And they said, we can't stop talking about the name. In fact, that passage is where we just read from Acts chapter 4, where he says, there's no other name under heaven whereby someone can be saved but the name of Jesus. We can't stop talking about it. You can't shut us up. They left out of there. They went straight back into talking about Jesus' name. How do you do it? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, they fearlessly shared the word of God, the name of Jesus Christ. Fearlessly. They threw him in jail. Angel came down, broke him out. They went back out and they shared the name of Jesus. Not only in word, fearlessly share the name of Jesus, but in deed. Love without limits. Love without limits in the name of Jesus. That's word. That's deed. Now, this is a series on Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 7, Solomon says this, and this is what we're going to move into communion with. He said, a good name is better than fine perfume, and the day of death better than the day of birth. Solomon knew something about a good name. What is perfume? What does perfume do? What? It smells. What? That's exactly. See, that's a man answer. See, women, oh, it smells pretty. Man answer. Perfume covers your stink. That's what it does. So what Solomon is saying here is he's saying, hey, a good name is better than faking it. A good name is better than putting perfume on and covering your stink. It's better to just be beautiful on your own. Now, ladies, it's fun to wear perfume. Don't take this the wrong way. I like it when my wife wears perfume. But you got to take the meaning of this and understand it and chew it up and swallow it and digest it today. You have the opportunity to have the best name ever. Don't go through life faking like you're a good name, faking like you're a good person. Putting makeup on and perfume. I'm talking about spiritual makeup, emotional perfume. What if you just inherited the best name ever? How great would that be? Then the day of your death would be better than the day of your birth.